to relax yourself. Then find yourself a comfortable seat. Okay, for those who came from Klang, how many of you still don't have this copy? You don't have. Siyan, pass to them. You get a copy from Siyan. At the back. So this one is very useful. These are the notes, the email compilation that I did during the early years. So it will help you a lot to understand what is meditation. Like the title say, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. A compilation of email returned by me to various Buddhist organizations, groups, and Dhamma friends. So, the important Dhammapada saying, which I put under Word of Wisdom by the Lord Buddha, they are also there. So, the talk that I give in Klang, every time you hear of this Dhammapada, verse 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, they are all there. So, this is a very important guidebook. I've given your center a copy too. They're supposed to photo stamp for you. I don't know whether you already got it or not. What is it? You want to record? You can put here. No problem. You can put here. Just leave it there. Then this book also, quite a good book. If you don't have, it's for free distribution. You can collect. Oh, you are here also. Yeah. Anybody who wants, they can have it. Yes. I'll get from. Oh, this one, okay. Yeah. Maybe I make use of this 10 minutes or so to brief you a little bit of what we do here. We are here to develop the understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. People call it Vipassana meditation or insight meditation. So come join us. So basically, it is a type of meditation where you develop the understanding as per the Buddha's teaching, so that you can understand clearly the important insight knowledges that you are supposed to awaken to. And it's mainly the three characteristics of nature: impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. Or in Pali, they call anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. So like the word vipassana, two part. First part, we stand for the three characteristics. Passana is to insight into the three characteristics. So whatever meditation that you do, if it can allow you to develop that wisdom, then it is called vipassana. But we try to be very clear about what we do. That's why the emphasis here is you must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise you become gullible, like I always say. You just follow instruction, thinking that the instruction is the meditation. You cannot do something that you don't understand. So you have to understand what is this meditation that the Buddha talked about, and why people call it insight meditation or vipassana meditation. I will go into the detail later on, but I need you to look at the whiteboard. These are very important, essential Dhamma that I frequently talk about during the Dhamma talk that I share with you all. The first five on the left, which is on your right, you're facing this, so it's on your left also. It's called the five mental hindrances. most of you all will know the Glenn Group. Their Dhamma knowledge quite good. Huh? So the five mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, then restlessness of mind, followed by doubt. These are the things that hinders your mind from entering the meditative states of calm, peace and inner awareness. So because of this hindrance, you do not have the ability to be at peace within the moment to develop the meditation. So like the word hindrance, means it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming aware. So because of that, the moment you are subject to this hindrance, you cannot meditate. Technically, there is no more meditation because they will hinder you. So what you need to do is to understand them. Then the moment you know that you have this, then you have to do something to overcome them. But not through fighting it. The Buddha said you don't have to fight this hindrance. These hindrances are there because you lack certain things. You lack what he called the spiritual faculty needed to understand his teaching. So the opposite five, which is the five spiritual faculty, or pancha indriyas. They are sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. We always talk about it. So the equivalent translation is in bracket. Sadha is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how special the Buddha is, so that your faith, your confidence in him become very, very strong, unshakable. Then when you have very strong faith, the virya, which is spiritual zeal, will arise, because it will actually drive you to cultivate his teaching, because you see the importance of it, the beauty of it. So this virya, which is a type of spiritual tenacity or zeal or passion to do the cultivation, they will arise. So when you are very sincere, very confident, and this mind determined to go and cultivate, to move forward, virya will be there. Then when you want to cultivate, the first thing that you must develop is sati or mindfulness. So the last talk I gave in Klang is understanding what is sati or mindfulness, and that one become relevant. So sati is to be cultivated with understanding. If you don't know what sati is, you cannot develop it. Remember? Like you want to learn how to ride a bicycle. At least you know you are learning how to ride a bicycle. So you get a bicycle and start. But you don't know what is sati. Means you don't know what you are cultivating or training. So you cannot start. So sati is basically awareness before the knowing. When you are silent without thought, that is sati. That's why when you pay respect to Lord Buddha, your body and mind move as one, without thought. And that is sati. So no need to try to be aware. When you try, the thought is active. It cannot be aware. You just like a normal person. Walk without thought. Just walk. Body and mind as one. Pay respect, bow. Body and mind as one. So when you are silent, you are aware already. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So the understanding of it will develop this awareness. So when you pay respect, you bow without the thought, you just aware. It's your body movement with the mind together. This is what Buddha called kaya nupassana. You anchor your mind to your body. Your breath is also part of your body. Your rising and falling of abdomen also part of your body. Your four posture also part of your body, kaya. So when you aware of that movement, mind and the movement as one, whether walking, standing, lying down or sitting, that posture itself, the mind and that posture as one, then any movement, the mind together with the phenomena is sati. That's why from kaya you can move into feeling, vedana. then you move into citta, which is content of consciousness. Then you move into dhamma. So these are the four foundations you anchor your mind to. So sati, once developed, if you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind. There's an arrow there, unwavering mind. So when you are very stable in sati, when you see things, hear things, smell things, or think of something, your mind does not waver anymore, not like before, because it's collected, unwavering. It has samadhi. So samadhi can only come about when your sati is very stable, more or less continuous. And then that stability of mind in awareness develops samadhi. Then when sati and samadhi is established, you will have clarity. You will see things as they are. Then you will insight into phenomena. Then your wisdom can arise. That's why panya, the last spiritual faculty, will arise. The moment you have this five, the hindrance is to be by itself. Just like sada, faith, confident. When you have faith, you are no longer restless. Your mind becomes very composed, anasana. Then when you have virya, spiritual zeal, you're no longer sleepy, anasana. Sloth and torpor does not affect you anymore. Then the moment you have mindfulness, your mind no longer thinks. So there is no restlessness, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, because the mind is just aware. Then when you have samadhi, it's unwavering. So that restlessness cannot come about too. Then when you have faith and confidence, there's no more doubt. Then the last one is when you have wisdom and samadhi, your sensual desire and ill will not arise. They will not affect you at all, anasana. There is no more craving for those states. You understand them for what they are. So every moment of sense experience, you have this equanimity inside you, understanding, point of wisdom. So your mind does not waver anymore, because it is not like before, you depend on the samadhi to be stable. But once wisdom is there, even without samadhi, in your normal daily life, your mind is no longer deluded. The like and dislike, it cannot stir you. Craving does not arise anymore. Because of that wisdom, it understands things as they are. It can see things as they are. It will never try to cling to all this so-called pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. When the moment you label it as unpleasant, there is aversion, there is dislike. And that comes from your view, your conditioning, the way your mind perceives things. So if you have all this understanding, the wisdom, then the first two hindrances, sensual desire and ill will, they will start to become attenuated, less and less, until finally no more. And then when no more, you will know the individual form and mind will understand, because you're not like before anymore. Your mind state is so different. So this sensual desire and ill will throughout the day when you live your daily life, unless you are heedful, unless you have mindfulness and wisdom, you sure get yourself entangled, and throughout the day you experience them. All of your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feeling, thing. Because this mind actually very judgmental, like to comment, like to react. It's like in Hokkien they call very kipo. So these two sets of dhamma you need to understand. So our puja, before we start, we are going to start soon. Develop the five spiritual faculty. So that's why all of your puja, pre-puja, post-puja, religious routine, your retreat or whatever, they are there for you to develop the conducive environment to bring about the training of the spiritual faculty. Once the spiritual faculty is established, the hindrance will be taken care of. Then you can meditate. Then you can understand the teaching very fast. And then the rest will follow. Okay? Okay, now we can start. Huh? Okay. You just relax yourself. Huh? Body and mind. Compose your mind. Then we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Huh? Then after the respect, we will start the puja. Huh? Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata aviramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana aviramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, huh? Then we can start. Okay, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax yourself, huh? Body and mind relax. Huh? Then maintain certain posture, huh? Then maintain attention and we can start. Okay, just to add to what I have shared with you all, huh? Just now we only covered the five mental hindrances and the importance of developing the five spiritual faculty to counter the hindrance. Then with regards to the meditation, you need to understand the importance of the puja that we talk about. So for those who are new from Klang, I will touch on this again. You see, this pre-puja followed by later post-puja together with all the meditative training, the second session of Q&A, reporting of meditation, and the sharing of the Dhamma. All these are very wholesome, very meritorious. And the Buddha has meant his teaching to be that way, so that it can help you in a very, very great way to progress along the path of Dhamma. That's why I gave this talk last week, I think, at SJBA. The importance of devotional practices, or Buddhist devotional practices, which we call puja, in walking the path of Dhamma. So when we do all this puja, what do we do? Why did we do? That's why you need to develop the understanding. The Buddha said, first, you recall to mind the great loving kindness, compassion and wisdom and great virtue of Lord Buddha. Then through understanding him, you have very great faith and confidence in him. That's why your mind become very composed. Saddha is developed. Then after that, you pay respect. Reverential salutation is a very, very powerful, meritorious action, especially so when you did it to the fully enlightened one or the worthy ones. The field of merit is immeasurable. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. This is to recall to mind and to remind us of the great virtue of Lord Buddha. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. He is blessed with wisdom and virtue. He is the Arahant, the fully enlightened one, worthy of respect, offering, and all those things. Then finally, he is the fully enlightened one. So that will give us very strong faith, and the chanting has a type of vibration that will develop the faith deeper. Then after that, we take refuge. Refuge in Triple Gem is very important, because the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, they are the Triple Gem, means gemstone, you know. The precious stone, the most precious among the precious stone is called the gemstone. So these are the Triple Gem within this universe that can have the teaching that will enable you to become enlightened. So you don't take refuge, you do not cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem. When you sincerely, with understanding, you take refuge with the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And every time you repeat it 3 times, that's why you go for the refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha for the 2nd time, for the 3rd time. So that you commit yourself strongly to this refuge. Then when you do that, it will arise the causes and conditions for you to connect to the Triple Gem whenever you arise or whenever you take birth. Any civilization, any world system, or any existence that you may be in. As long as the Triple Gem is there, there will be this affinity for you to connect. That's why it's so important. Then you have to renew your 5 precepts. That is, through understanding right view with regards to the law of karma, you need to take care of karma. You need to avoid all evil. So the precept is to protect you so that you can avoid all evil with regards to the very, very basic precepts, the 5 very basic but very important ones. And the precept is to overcome the 3 evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. People who violate this precept has all the evil roots. And you have to cultivate the opposite, dana sila bhavana, so that your mind state will be free of the evil root. Dana is generosity. So generosity is to overcome selfishness. Understand? That's why you develop this heart to have a lot of generosity, to donate, to help people and all those things, to bring forth all your goodness. Then you keep your precept, sila. So sila is to prevent your egoic mind from manifesting into selfishness, emotional negativity and fear, so that you restrain your mind through mindfulness, through awareness, to be aware of the mental intention behind. When you see the mental intention clearly, you will recognize whether there is evil root or not. When the evil roots are there, any of the three, greed, hatred, and delusion, they are the root of all evil. You will become evil. So that's why when you are able to be aware, heedful, the moment you are aware that there is selfishness in you, or greediness in you, or lustfulness in you, there is the evil root of greed, you become evil. Then whenever there is emotional negativity like anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, you become evil. So you have to root it out. That's why no matter what happened in life, never get angry. Never react. Just be at peace. Have a calm and clear mind to understand what is going on. Then, of course, last one is bhavana. Bhavana is meditation. Developing the meditative discipline to develop the wisdom to understand life, to understand what is going on so that you will not get yourself entangled with life anymore. So all these sets of dhamma are very important. Then after that, if you are in the temple, you chant the Ittipeso Bhagava, salutation to Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, to remind you of what these triple gems are. Then you have offering in the temple, significance of the items that you offer. The flower, the fruit, the candle, the incense. Then you have the water, signify purity and all those things. So once you see the Dhamma within all this offering, it recalls to mind all the important teaching. Like flower signify impermanence. Then water signify clarity, purity, stillness, calmness. You have to train your mind until it's like that pure water. Then you need to develop the wisdom light that dispel the darkness of ignorance. So the candle actually represents that. Then you have the incense that represents your virtue, your wisdom, your righteousness. They will shine forth, just like the incense with the fragrance. You don't have to doubt that the incense has fragrance because people will sense it. So likewise, when you cultivate and develop all those noble qualities, virtue, wisdom, people will sense it. So all these are very important. Then as you cultivate this puja, you develop all the 10 meritorious actions, the blessings and all those things. Then you cultivate meditation. You develop what they call all of the important dhammas that you need to develop. And towards the closing puja, you share merit, transfer merit, rejoice. Then you also make aspiration by invoking power of merits so that it can pave the way for you to avoid all evil, to avoid all the foolish ones, meet up with the wise and enlightened ones so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So this will summarize why we need to cultivate the spiritual faculty through the Buddhist devotional practices, or what you call puja. So don't underestimate their importance. Develop a religious routine so that you can do this puja almost every day. Morning when you wake up, at night before you sleep, and in between whenever you have the free time, like your lunch break or your rest time. Okay, then after that you need to understand the important benefits of meditation. You look at the banner on top. This is the meditation that can allow you to develop all these benefits. When your mind is very calm, very composed with the faith, sadha and the virya and sati, you will develop inner peace straight away. And this inner peace, if you know how to develop it and use it, combined with metta, it will develop inner well-being. The calmness energy, the loving kindness will develop this inner well-being in you. Inner peace and inner well-being will bring about a calm and tranquil, still mind. that will give you clarity. So with that clarity, you can use it to meditate and insight into phenomena. That's how the fourth benefit, wisdom, will arise. And when wisdom arises, you will be very, very different. You will have very good sleep, no more problem with insomnia and all those things. Then you will be able to study very well. Even if you are working, you will do your work very efficiently, because of your clarity, your understanding. And the spin-off from all this is tremendous. It will do away all the hindrance of mind, and you will become like a totally different human being, fully charged. The first two, inner peace and inner well-being, is very useful for people who are sick, who has disease and all those things, because for them, their energy field is very negative. That's why they have a lot of stress, fear, worry, anxiety, the opposite of inner peace and inner well-being. And these people, their immune system will be affected. And because of that, in order to recover, they need to actually do some meditative training. Train the mind to have this inner peace and inner well-being so that the positive energy, the metta energy, will charge them up and your cell will recuperate. Then you will have a lot of what they call joy, a lot of peace, a lot of happiness. And these are very positive energy that will actually cause your cell to recuperate. Your immune system will go up. Then you have higher possibility of recovering from the illness or sickness. Okay, with that I can start the meditation instruction. For those who really know how to meditate, you can straight away start. For me, you can use any technique or any method. There is no restriction, because methods and techniques are just skillful means for you to train your mind, to anchor your mind. But I will give you specific instruction for those who wants to learn them. These instructions are very basic, but they are very useful. I will train you how to decondition your heedless thinking so that your five hindrances can be overcome. We use this mind sweeping method where we sweep our awareness through our body, starting from the forehead. You just feel and aware, then relax. Don't think. If you do it very well, your mind will transform. It will not think anymore. Or at least the thinking part will slow down. And if you can do it with understanding, you become heedful very fast, mindful very fast. But the moment you don't think, you already aware. That's why you feel. Feeling is very near to awareness. You feel and you don't think. You just relax. Okay, I will off the light. So, for those who know how to meditate, you can start. For those who need instruction, you can follow after this. Okay. Relax your body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. Try to have a stable posture. If you got trouble sitting, you don't have to sit on the cross-legged position. You can sit on a couch or a chair, or you can just lean against the wall and relax your body and mind. Whatever posture that is stable enough to develop this training of the mind or meditation will suffix. You can use them. Then you close your eyes. Relax body and mind. The key to meditation is relaxation. Then you maintain awareness or mindfulness or attention at your forehead. You just feel your forehead. Feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax every part silently. relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your awareness to be aware of your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Don't think, just feel. Then relax every part of your eye muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Sweep through the facial muscle. Every part of it. Relax every part of your facial muscle. Usually after a tired day, you have your work, your career, your daily life routine. Most of you would have some stress. Then your facial muscle is not relaxed because that stress actually build up in your facial muscle. So you can relax them. It is a type of deconditioning to help you recuperate after a tired day. Then after that, if you still find it not so relaxed, you can combine with metta, loving kindness, so that you can bring forth the inner well-being, the metta force within, together with your silent mind. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, you are naturally relaxed. Without joy, without happiness, you cannot be relaxed. So you just radiate a radiant smile. Then you naturally will relax. Then after that, you radiate metta. You can recite as follow. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every of the cells within. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire being. Then when you recite, may I, you are aware of your entire body. May I, this body and mind of mine, means aware of your body, aware of your entire mind state of being. Be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire form and mind, your entire being. When you do that, there is a lot of joy, a lot of well-being within your own body and mind. Then you can radiate metta. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. When you recite physical and mental suffering, you must feel that you are free of physical and mental suffering too. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mental faculty too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can relate this same metta to your loved one, somebody that you have affection for. It can be your parents, your spouse, your children, your brothers or sisters, or some close friend, good friends. May my loved ones too be well and happy. You read it from your heart. You can visualize them if you want. Then from your heart, you read it, the well-being and happiness to them. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. then you can radiate the same metta to all beings within the vicinity of this place and all our Dhamma friends. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all our Dhamma friends, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this well-being and happiness to them all. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the entire Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, then the entire universe. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Excuse me. And may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within all their hearts. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. You can return your awareness to your facial muscle. Relax every part. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then maintain the radiant smile and joy. Then you move your awareness to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Feel and relax, don't think. Then after that, you move your attention to your chest or your heart area. And you silence your mind completely and just feel. You can detect any heartbeat or any vibration. You just silence and stay there. For those who are new, if you have not developed the stability of mindfulness or awareness or training of the mind to be aware, it's okay. You just feel like you feel your forehead, feel your heart area. Then relax all the muscle there, every part of it, feel it soothingly, relax. Silence your mind, feel, don't think. Then you move your attention or awareness down from your heart to your stomach. Silent and feel again. Then relax every part within the stomach. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Again, you're silent and just feel. When you just silent and just feel, the phenomena will be detected by your awareness. Don't go and look for any rising and falling. Just silence your mind. The rising and falling will come to your awareness. Your awareness will be aware of it. Just like you feel your forehead. You just feel your abdomen. Yeah. Then the awareness of sati is very different. It's not a thought that go and look for it. It's not a concept or idea. It's just silent mind that is aware. Then when the movement of the abdomen and the mind move as one, just like you pay respect without thought, that is the real sati awareness. And when you can be aware of that, it is very different. That sati is very different. That one is from the silent mind, which is fully aware. If you are doing rising falling, you can try that and find out for yourself the difference between what you used to do and now. Through this understanding, you just silent your mind, silent everything. Then find out, investigate into the real Dhamma. For those who are not doing rising falling, you just relax every part within the abdomen. Then you move to your leg, relax every part. Buttock, feel, relax every part. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from the leg and the buttock, you relax. Back to abdomen, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then you move the awareness up. The mind just aware, move up. Feel the stomach. Again, feel and relax. Don't think. Move your awareness to your chest or heart area. Do the same. Relax every part, just silence your mind. Feel. Then move it up to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, silent and relax every part, neck, then your facial muscle, relax every part. Then you feel your eye muscle, do the same, relax every part, then your forehead. If you want to repeat the whole cycle, mind sweeping method, you can do it again. This is a very important training. It has two very important advantages. First, you train your mind to be aware at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will be at the heart area. So this training is very useful so that the mind listens to you. You can use it. Then after that, you just silent and feel, then relax. You don't think. You will develop the ability to decondition your heedless thinking mind so that it can become silent, aware within, and peaceful. And it will develop sati naturally. Once you have this training developed, your mind will become more quiet, more peaceful, less thinking. Then after that, you can stabilize this mindfulness or this awareness that you have developed by using Anapanasati, which was recommended by Lord Buddha. Anapanasati is very simple. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So the word Anapanasati means mindfulness of the in and out breath, not concentration, not focusing. Just aware. So what you do is like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. You maintain awareness in front of your nostril where your breath moves in and out. You just silence your mind and feel. Just like you feel your forehead or any part in your body, you just feel the breathing. The moment the breath and the mind is one, detected, you just allow the mind to follow the breathing. Means the breath and the mind move as one without thought. That is Anapanasati. Just like what the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means awareness of the breath. Mind and breath as one in harmony. Perfect synchrony. Initially, if you are not trained, this mind will wander off very fast. Split second before you are aware, it's gone, something else. Heedless, lost in thought. But be patient, silence your mind and continuously come back to the breathing. Silence your mind to be aware of the breathing. If you train yourself diligently, not long, Anapanasati will develop naturally. It's actually easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. You only need to maintain awareness. That's why the first instruction is just relax, aware. Aware of what? Aware of the breathing. Just silent and maintain attention or awareness in front of the nostril. Then silence your mind. The moment the silent mind detects the breathing, allow the mind to move in harmony with the breathing. That's why breathing in, you are aware. breathing out, your mind is aware. And this anapanasati, the moment you are able to develop it, your mind will become very quiet and very peaceful straight away. Because the mind that is aware of this in and out breath is very calm and very peaceful. It is the breath which is always in the moment. Then your mind aware of this breathing means you are in the present moment awareness without thought, and that is sati. And when sati build up, it will develop into what they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy that comes with a tranquil mind, that comes with a calm mind that is aware without thought. So if you just train diligently, after a while, you will find that your breathing become very normal, very natural. Then your breath and your mind, like in harmony, just very gracefully moving in and out. Then you will develop what they call long breath. So when your long breath comes to be, you will become very calm, very peaceful. Piti will be very strong during this time. Then you continue to relax and just aware. This piti will become more and more refined, more and more refined, until it develops into what they call sukha. Sukha is bliss, mental bliss, very, very refined type of piti, very blissful type of feeling. Then as you continue to relax and silent, even the long breath after a while become like very quiet and very subtle, like no more breathing. When you can realize this state is very good, it's a sign of good progress. But you must understand what this state is. You continue to relax and silent your mind, allow it to be. Don't do anything, don't force anything, just silent away. Then after a while, this sukha will transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is the still mind, tranquil mind, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. When you reach pasati, the mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so still, so silent. It's just aware. During this time, don't try to do anything. Just silent, completely silent. Stay there. Then you need to anchor it to anything. You just try to be aware of whatever that the mind is able to be aware. If you bring it down to your heart area, during that time, if you just silent, you will detect all the vibration within your heart, especially your heartbeat. Then when you can do that, you just silent and allow it to be. Then you realize the gross vibration of the heartbeat will slowly, slowly slow down and become more and more subtle, and more calm. Then when you are one with the heartbeat, with the vibration without thought, your sati become very stable, very sharp. Then you just continue to relax and silent. After a while, when you are very skillful in all this training, then you realize your mind has enter sati on its own. Means the mind is already in sati, naturally in sati. Technically, you don't need any object of meditation now. You don't need anything to train the mind because the mind is already trained. It is already naturally in sati, silent. During this time, you can use this silent mind to meditate. You will understand a lot of things. You can feel and become aware of all the consciousness that arise, how your form and mind come to be, how the sense basis upon contact trigger of consciousness, and how upon contact consciousness come to be, and within the consciousness there is this content where the feeling, perception, activity of mind, all of the aggregates of mind they simultaneously arise, then you can have the awareness of all of the content. Then you will know how the Paticca Samuppada come to be, the dependent origination come to be, how upon contact feeling arise, and without wisdom, without yoniso manasikara, feeling is conditioned in the craving straight away. We are your conditioned mind, we are your views and opinion. So all this you will come to see. Then from there, how it conditions craving. Then craving condition grasping, grasping condition becoming. All this, you will see them clearly within your mind state. Okay. Now I will allow you to continue with your training of your mind to develop your meditation. I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Then after that, if you want to continue to meditate, you can. For those who already have enough, they can just silently and mindfully come out of meditation. Okay, now I will off the mic. Then you can train your mind and develop this meditation on your own. others still want to meditate, you can continue for the second half. Slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is very different. It listens to you. You can use it for whatever purpose. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. You want it to be relaxed and aware, you will just do that. That you want it to be actively investigating the Dhamma, it will just silent and maintain the attention to investigate Dhamma. The silent mind that is trained develops heedfulness. So heedfulness is a very important quality that the Buddha has emphasized on. Even before he passed away, he told the monk, strive on with heedfulness, do not be heedless. That's why the famous quote that the Buddha spoke before he passed away, apamadena sampadita. So here, apamada or heedfulness means your mind that is already trained to be aware within silence. When you use that to develop wisdom, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then it becomes heedfulness, awareness. Sati stabilize, become heedful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is how you develop the meditation. First, you come here to train your mind. Then after that, you silence your mind to develop the whatever form of meditation that you need to do. Then after that, this trained mind that you have developed in the form of meditation, you need to use it to meditate. And if you can carry this state, mind state that you have trained, or heedfulness, into your daily life, and that is the real meditation. That's why daily mindfulness, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, means constantly aware to meditate, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, is heedfulness. So, the Buddha under the Dhammapada verse 21 already make it very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train this mind, if you are heedless, the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead, no more spiritual life. So, the heedless are as if dead. So heedlessness is the path to the dead. So that is a very powerful statement. So your life, you decide how you want to live. You choose not to train this mind and allow it to continue to be heedless, then there is no more spiritual life open to you. Then Dhammapada verse 22 and 23, they complement verse 21. Especially verse 23. The ever mindful, constantly meditative, means you are already trained your mind. You have constant mindfulness, ever mindful. Then constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. And the steadfast one, if you hold on to these two cultivation, you will be assured, guaranteed enlightenment. Then you will realize the bond-free state of Nibbana. So all this has its meaning, and there is this very important message that the Buddha wants you to understand. As long as you are heedful, you will develop this meditation and you will become enlightened. Okay, so that is the summary of what you need to understand. Meditation got two parts. First part to train the mind to be mindful. Yeah? Then after that, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path and meditate in daily life. So your daily mindfulness is the real meditation. That's why without this daily mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. But ultimately, it is the fourth noble truth that brings about enlightenment. The Buddha talked about there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So whatever meditation you do, if it don't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you must have heedfulness. Without heedfulness, Noble Eightfold Path cannot be cultivated, because the most important quality is sati, mindfulness, the first factor of enlightenment. Without sati, without mindfulness, you cannot investigate Dhamma. You cannot develop heedfulness. So sati is most important. That's why the whole of meditation is about satipatthana, for foundation of mindfulness. Yeah. And all of training of mind lead to sati. Without sati, you are as if dead. You are heedless. Okay, with that, I think we can end the first session. So now I will open up the class for meditation reporting, followed by question and answer, Q&A. Yeah. You can report your meditation. Then you can ask me any question that you want to understand with regards to the meditation, the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here together with the Buddha Dharma to help you resolve all of your life problem or situation. Okay, so now we open it up. Make full use of this session to ask questions and to report your meditation so that I can guide you, so that you can arise the condition for Dhamma to flower. Okay, what about those who clang? First time, most of you are first time following my meditation session. How you find the session? Can you follow? Okay, good. How is your mind state? Are you more calm, more peaceful? More calm and more peaceful. What about the hindrance? Do you observe any hindrance coming in? It wanders. So that is very natural, very normal, because the untrained mind think a lot. Because it is heedless. The Buddha says heedless. Heedless means it is not heedful. Not heedful means what? It's not aware. If it's not aware and you don't have that stability or awareness, you cannot be heedful. That's why you think a lot. You worry a lot. And that's how restlessness come to be. Then when you think, you react to what you think. That's why you got like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Your reaction to sense experience. That's why the hindrance of mind keep on coming out. Then as you think, you start to doubt. Am I doing it correctly? Is this the way? Why is it so painful? All this thought will come. And when you have thought, you are no longer mindful, so you are no longer aware, you are no longer in a meditative state. That's why you are already heedlessly lost in thought, thinking. And meditation is not about thinking. Thinking can never free you. Thinking will make you more restless. Thinking will make you more heedless. So what you have gone through will actually help develop the understanding of meditation. So that's why, like you say, initially it like think a lot, it wanders off. Then are you able to follow the mind sweeping method where you just silent everything, relax, then feel, relax. When you feel and relax, you know what happened or not? You don't think anymore. So this habitual thinking, heedless thinking, for the first time in your life, stop. I haven't explained to you enough because you are new here. You see, if throughout the day, let's say, to make you understand further, throughout the day when you live your daily life, you have to experience a lot of things. You know? Your senses are fully operational and wide open. You know? Every moment of sense or consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel, or think of something, what happens? You react to what you see. You know? You react to what you hear. You know? Especially over the phone or over some chattering or what. When you hear something that people talk about that affects you, or a topic that you are interested in, where you have certain views and opinion, you want to go and argue, or you want to go and comment, or inside here chattering already. Why this guy like that? How come we got nothing else better to do? Actually, you yourself also like him inside there. Why can't you just silent and just aware? Then live within the moment, understand? It's so beautiful, so peaceful, and there is life. But when you get yourself entangled with all these things, then your mind starts to react because you have these views and opinion, your conditioning of your mind. Even as a Buddhist, you have your conditioning, understand? As a Chinese, you have your conditioning from your culture, your forefathers, tradition and all this thing. So all this condition you to look at things from certain perspective or views and opinion. Then when you have views and opinion, you will have right and wrong, good and bad, like and dislike. That's an essential desire and you will keep on manifesting. Then if that sense experience is something you like, you get drawn to it, understand? You get yourself entangled with it because you desire that sense experience to be repeated. It's like something very pleasurable, very nice. So the sensual desire, when it arises, what happened to your mind? Yeah? What happened to your mind? It's no longer aware. It's lost in thought. Preoccupied with that sense experience. Then thinking, reacting. So how can you meditate? That's why you are really no more aware. You lost your heedfulness. That's why sensual desire draws you away. Preoccupied in that sense experience, then your reaction of mind develop the sensual desire. The dislike become ill will, unpleasant. So both duality, throughout the day you experience them. Your like and dislike non-stop. Understand? Your very subtle aversion. You cannot see, you cannot feel because you don't have heedfulness. You are not mindful enough. And you don't have the understanding of the hindrance. You have not investigated the Dhamma deep enough. That's why all this Dhamma, you don't understand. You only know the words. You have yet to investigate into it and cultivate. That's why the meditation is very different. That's why you can never understand all this. You only, through knowledge, think you know. But they are just words. But when you see them in the meditation, in your daily life, it's a totally different thing. Then you realize, hey, no wonder the Buddha say, the moment I have sensual desire, ill will, I am no longer mindful, no longer heedful, because my mind is lost in thought, preoccupied with that sense experience. I can only do one thing at a time. Either I'm aware, or I'm lost in thought. When I'm lost in thought, preoccupied with that sense experience, means I am no longer aware of what is going on. My thought is actually lost in the experience that I am trying to develop. Understand? Whether it's like or dislike or whatever, or thinking, you are already preoccupied with the experience. That's why when you do it so often throughout the day, day in and day out, and throughout the year, year after year, what happened to you? It becomes habitual, correct? Habitual tendency. And this is what habitual tendency. So next time when you see something automatic, that chattering, that reaction come out. That's how you see somebody you don't like, automatically the mind react. That's how. Then when your spouse say something, you automatically react. So very, very habitual. Your kid also same. They also know you. Oh, ma, enough, huh? I know what you try to say. Yeah, every day you repeat those things. So habitual tendency is a very powerful habit that make you heedless. Understand? So how to decondition all these things? Because it's like a momentum, no? Understand? Like you already a habit, no? See only react, hear only react, think only react. Because your life has become heedless for so long. So it's just like this example. You know science, you will know. Eh? You see, when I rotate this one, what happened? There's a momentum in there. Your habitual tendency is like a momentum, no? Keep on going on, no? Non-stop. So what you have to do is stop it, understand? Decondition this heedless thinking. So the moment you stop it, what happened? Every moment of awareness will slow down the momentum, understand? Then when you can stop it, means what? There is no more momentum to move you, understand? Then to start again, you need momentum, understand? You need envy to force it to start again. Not so easy, really, understand? But if you don't have, it's just like your car, when it's already moving, a little bit of petrol, zoom, it will go already, understand? But when it is in the stationary stage, when you want to start that car, you need to engage first gear or low gear, understand? Otherwise, you cannot move that car, understand? So it is the same with your thought. So that's why in meditation, you need to slow down this heedless thinking by using the mind sweeping method. Means you feel, then you relax. Don't think. Every time you feel, relax. You become more peaceful. Because just momentum once gone, it takes a while to start again. But the trouble with you is, you meditate only once a week. Maybe half an hour or 45 minutes. Unless you have a religious routine. Then, the balance of the day, you are heedless. You tell me whether you can train your mind or not. Because the time you spend living your heedless life is so much more than your meditative training. That's why you go to retreat, no use. If you don't understand this point, you can go 10 days, 12 days, 14 days, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. After that, you come out very peaceful, very calm, like you transform. But as soon as you return to the daily life, your habitual tendency come back. Within maximum 1 week, you become like before. That's why a lot of people report to me, "But you are right. I never change. In the retreat, I thought I changed. I thought I got the insight. I thought I understand everything. I thought I got this jnana, that jnana. But when I come back to daily life, I still can feel my anger, my fear, my emotion, my dislike. All those habitual tendencies that I used to have, they are still deep inside. Understand? That's why it never change you, never transform you. Why? Because you are heedless. Understand? If you are not in a retreat, if you don't have this setting to make you peaceful and quiet, you become heedless so fast. That's why daily mindfulness is the one. After you have trained this mind, you have to carry this state into life. Means throughout the day you are heedful. You are aware. Your mind no longer thinks like before. Understand? Most of the time it's heedful. Means what? Most of the time it's aware. It is not like before. Constantly thinking, constantly lost in thought, constantly reacting. No more. That's why when the spiritual faculty is there, especially sati and samadhi, even before the wisdom, you are more mindful already, more heedful already, more and more moments of silence already, less and less thinking, less and less habitual tendency, less and less hindrance. That's why if you want to understand how the meditative mind come to be, you only need to understand the first two links within the dependent origination. What is the first two links? Huh? What is the first two links? Wow. This one also you don't know, means how to meditate. Avijja paccaya sankhara. What is avijja? Huh? Ignorant, is it? Dependent on ignorance arise on. Sankhara is on. Mental activity, is it? Thinking, is it? That's why, because you don't understand, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have panya, you don't have right view, you think a lot. So, in order to cease that thinking, what must you develop? The opposite of avijja, isn't it? What is it? Wisdom, isn't it? Panya, isn't it? That's why without wisdom, the first link is always active. That's why you cannot stop sensual desire and ill will. Even the sotapan, yeah? After you become first stage of sainthood, do you know sensual desire, ill will still there? Understand not? Even sakadagami, they only attenuate this fellow, understand not? Reduce it, understand not? Only at anagami, you totally severe. So this sensual desire and ill will is very powerful, understand not? That's why when you develop the meditation, you must have heedfulness, you must have awareness. Sati leading to samadhi, so that you can see things as they are and insight into the reality, into all phenomena, all of the characteristics, the impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature, anicchang dukkang anatta. Not until you insight and awaken, you can never deal with phenomena. You will always lashes onto them, cling onto them, hold onto them and react because of delusion, ignorance, avijja, sakkaya ditti. Even sakkaya ditti cannot break sensual desire and ill will. When you break sakkaya ditti, you become a sotapan. Yeah? First stage of sainthood. Means you know the form and mind is not you. You will not grasp, you will not cling, but you still have sensual desire. You cannot break the fetters. Yeah. You can only attenuate it to wisdom, nothing else. That's why you must cultivate panya, wisdom. That's why you must develop the four foundation of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. Then after you have done all this, then only you will have the understanding of how you get yourself entangled. How your mind is conditioned into all the various mind states that torment you, that condition you to deludedly grasp and cling and hold and react. That's how you suffer. That's how suffering and misery comes to be. So all this can only become clear if you have trained your mind to be mindful, then develop it until very stable. And cultivate heedfulness. That's why heedfulness is very, very important. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So, this is something that you need to really, really understand. And when you have that understanding, you will determine to train your mind seriously until it's very mindful, very heedful. Then you have to bring forth this day into your daily life, no? Not just after meditation, you go back and do the same old thing, repeat your same old way of living life. Then there is no more meditation, because meditation is about cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. What is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right life. This is all about life, understand? No? So within life, if you don't have heedfulness, how can you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path? That's why you must have that mindfulness, the heedfulness, to see your mental intention, to see how your mind functions, how the dependent origination come to be, how your mind stir and react, and how the hindrance come to be, and how with the spiritual faculty, when you are trained, the hindrance cease to be. Then wisdom arises. Then when wisdom arises, there is Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. That wise attention, Yoniso Manasikara, will actually develop the wisdom to free your mind. So that upon contact, feeling will remain as pure feeling, no more craving. That's why your sensual desire, your like and dislike, all, it is no more like before. Where it is grasping, luring, holding. There is no more delusion. You can experience them. Like good food, you can eat, but there is no more craving. Understand? then those situations that you used to react negatively with fear or say, you no longer react negatively with fear. You understand them for what they are. These are natural state conditions that come and go. Anasana, consciousness come and go, arise and pass away. Form and mind, fire aggregate, he know me. That's why you are not whole, you are not grasp, you will not react anymore. You accept them for what they are. That's why you can see things as they are, not as what your views and opinion condition you into believing. So all of your seeing become pure seeing. You see things with clarity. You see things with wisdom. And you penetrate all of the Dhamma with understanding. You no longer grasp and cling to all the dualities of life. You are no longer entangled by what your mind tells you. Understand? Huh? Because these are all from knowledge, memory, conditioning. All of your views and opinion are your mental conditioning that you developed since birth until now. That's why whenever you hold and cling and grasp onto your identity, like you are Chinese, Buddhist, this is already craving to be becoming. So all of this, you will start to see them within your daily life. You will start to see how your mind, through the thought, create ego. The sakayadity, the egoic mind that react through ignorance, through lack of understanding, thinking that it is real, thinking that it is you, thinking that all of your sense experience, the feeling that arise, they are real, they are what you experience, and they are what you are. That's why you deludedly hold on to all those things. And when you cling and you grasp, there is this craving. And when you cannot get what you want, suffering comes to be. That's why craving is always the cause of suffering. Without craving, there is no suffering. What is craving? Your like and your dislike. Understand? You're holding on to things, positive and negative. Okay, anything else you all want to report on the meditation? We still got 30 minutes or so. Anybody wants to report their meditation? You just have to describe to me what happened during the session. And then I can advise you accordingly. Then you got any question, you can also ask. How did you start just now? You can follow the instruction or not? Okay. Oh, okay. Very stiff, huh? So what you do? This is very common. That's why you must ask. Then only I can help you to understand. Yeah, your shoulder is stiff. Okay. Correct. Then what you do? Yeah, so after that, what did you do? Did you radiate metta? That's why. You radiate metta, there is joy, there is happiness. You realize everything relaxes by itself. When your mind state is relaxed, the whole body will relax. Especially when you are happy. When you are full of joy, peace, happiness. You are very relaxed, isn't it? You are only not relaxed when you are stressed out, correct? When you have problem, when you have worry, anxiety, fear, then this mental stress will cause your physical stress. That's how your cell starts to mutate, because that emotion releases a type of what they call hormone. And that hormone actually can cause your body to mutate. Then sometimes it's because it is something that you develop through the aging process. Understand? No? Aging process means what? Like, as you get old, you get rheumatism, stiff shoulder. Sometimes it's due to disease. Understand? No? So even though it's due to disease, you need medication, you need treatment, physiotherapy or whatever, and then you seek that advice also. But you can also learn how to relax through your mental to help you. That's why people do yoga, understand? It's a type of relaxation and they feel so peaceful and so calm. But yoga's problem is their meditation is less. They also got do, but it teaches the type of yoga meditation which is different from the Buddhist meditation. Where Buddhist meditation is focused entirely on wisdom, manasana. The others, the calm, the relaxed state, the peaceful state, the inner well-being, all these are byproduct of meditation. That's why I use the word benefits, manasana. But it's not the core focus of Buddhist meditation. The core focus of Buddhist meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free. That's it. But with it, a lot of benefits or byproduct of it comes about. So this is what makes the difference between all the other type of technique, meditation or training. Yoga, they got different way of developing. They got various type of yoga, hatha yoga, kriya yoga. These are Hindu practices, and they also supposed to have wisdom part, but it's a totally different. It's towards Hinduism and all those things. Actually, you know how to develop it. It can also help you. Yeah. But more important is, you clearly understand your mind. When you understand your mind, you will understand what is going on within you, your form and mind. Yeah. Just now you want to ask something. Huh? What was it? Ah, the stiff shoulder, yes. Then after that, after it's gone, what happened to you? When the stiff shoulder is not affecting you anymore. So, after that, what do you do? After that, in the name of meditation, what do? You continue to do what? You must be meditating. So what are you doing inside there? That's why I want you to understand the focus of meditation. Otherwise, you will continue to repeat this over year and year and year, year in and year out, and you will not improve, I tell you. If you understand what you are doing, then you move very fast. Maybe now I help to explain a bit. You see, that's why I want you to understand what is meditation as taught by Lord Buddha. So Lord Buddha said, the first thing that you need to train is heedfulness, karana. So the focus is to train the mind to be aware, then use it to meditate. Okay? Clear or not? Train it to be aware, use it to meditate. So these are the focus. Okay? Meditate is cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. What are you doing inside there? Did you train your mind to be aware? That's why most of you are not. Most of you are more involved in technique and method. Then some say, I chant first. Then some say, I just note this, note that. Thinking that when you note this and note that, you are meditating. But what is meditation? You don't want to find out. You only follow instruction to do. And you come out with your own theory of what to do. Understand? You think that is the right way to do. And by going through that, actually, if you are not careful, I use this word, you come here to meditate, not to torture yourself unnecessarily. Understand? You know what is torturing yourself unnecessarily? Creating all the pain, the numbness, the stiff shoulder, and the frustration inside, because you dare not move. Understand? You like they say yan. What is in Cantonese yan is you try to like endure. Actually not endure, suppress. You try to suppress your movement, suppress your unhappy mind. And of course, finally you try to endure. And that is not meditation. Meditation is a very natural process of relaxation. You come here after a tired day to recuperate, to relax your body and mind so that you can be aware and silent, so that you are no longer heedlessly lost in thought, kamphalona, so that you can develop sati or mindfulness, the silent mind. The moment you can be silent and peaceful, that is the beginning of meditation. Sati comes about. So everything you do in the name of meditation, if it does not lead you to train your mind to be aware, you have lost your focus. Anasana. That's why a lot of people cannot get it, cannot progress well in the meditation, is because of that. Because they don't know what they are doing. And they just come here, sit, then keep on complaining. Anasana. Very painful. Sometimes full of numbness, itchiness. Yeah? Then the mind very restless, think a lot. Okay, very good question. You see, that's why I say you must do with understanding. If you understand, it can still be a meditation as well. You just aware of whatever that is going on. That is sati, anasana. That is a foundation of mindfulness. You are aware of your bodily activity, anasana. Means stiff shoulder. Okay? Then you just silence your mind. Just feel. When you don't think and feel, you are aware, anasana. You don't go and note, anasana. Stiff shoulder, stiff shoulder, stiff shoulder, pain, pain. Then I don't know what you are doing. Your thought is so active. Your word is so active. You are verbalizing. Then how can you be in sati? Anasana? So when you silence your mind and just feel, your feeling is very near to awareness. Anasana? It's not awareness yet. It's still a feeling. Anasana? Vedana. That's why there will be like and dislike. Anasana? The moment you complain as stiff shoulder or pain or numbness, you already develop ill will, anasana, dislike for that sensation. But the Buddha said, under Vedana no pasana, when you feel something, you're supposed to be aware, anasana. Aware of what? Aware of the movement of that feeling, anasana. That's why when there is this pleasant feeling, you're aware. When there is this unpleasant feeling, you're aware. What is pleasant and unpleasant feeling? Sensual desire and ill will. That's why under Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of training under the first foundation of, first category of cultivation of Dhamma Nupassana is what? Mindfulness of the five hindrance. Understand? It's all connected and related. That's why when you silence your mind and feel, you just feel Vedana. Is to allow you to be mindful of the movement. The moment it becomes pleasant, sense experience, there is craving, there is desire, anasana. That's why when you cling on to sukha, the calm state, the peaceful state, what happens? The next time you meditate where you cannot get, you become unhappy. You say, lousy meditation. Today my meditation no good. Because to you think get the peace is meditation. That's why you cannot. You look for it. There is craving, there is desire. You don't understand that it's a naturally arising condition, arising state. When I train my mind to be silent and peaceful, when anapanasati is there or when mindfulness is there, I will become peaceful. The moment you have sati, piti will arise, leading to sukha, leading to paucity, all these jhanic factor will arise. But you don't understand. You go and look for it, anasana. And you try to be peaceful. You want it to be repeated, anasana. So what are you doing? You are not meditating anymore. You are looking for those states. You are chasing, you have craving. And the problem with the mind is when you crave, it won't come. Understand? Most of the time it comes because by accident. First time you do it, you're very excited and you are in the mood, then it comes. Then like good food, after you eat a few times, no longer special. That's why that same experience no longer make you happy. Understand? So your mind is so conditioned. So when you understand all this, this is what understanding will transform you. Then you don't become gullible anymore. Understand? When you come here to meditate, you know it's to train the mind to be aware, to be heedful. And whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't lead to that, then you are wasting your time. Understand? You are repeating all those habitual doing that you think is meditation. I have to ask your forgiveness for putting it so blunt, because last time I did not say, because everybody will run, nobody will want to meditate. But now, I think most of you understand. That's why when I have the condition to point out to you, I hope you go back and reflect and don't get angry over what I say. Understand? Because this is the truth, this is what is happening to you. And most of you cannot progress it because of that. Understand? That's why you can be in and out of retreat years and years, some 30 years, 20 years, some even 30 over years or 40 years, so on. If you don't develop the understanding, the wisdom cannot come, the insight cannot come, because you don't know what is sati, and you don't know what is meditation, and yet you think you are doing meditation. Understand not? That's why the focus is, if you understand what is sati, then stiff shoulder also can be meditated on. You just silence your mind and feel. You don't note anything and don't do it. Just silent. Then what happens? The moment the mind don't cling, don't grasp, don't labor, you will no more. Understand? Sensual desire no more. No more hindrance. Then what happens? Your mind become peaceful. Understand? Because the spiritual work faculty will take over, sati will take over. The moment sati take over and become samadhi, the mind become very quiet. That's like piti, sukha and pasati straight away arise. Then there is joy. Then there is this stillness, silent. And the energy is so different, so good, so beautiful and so conducive for you to understand what is going on. But if you cling to this good state, it becomes sensual desire again. Understand not? That's why either state you cannot cling. You only experience them and understand them for what they are. They will come and they will go. Understand not? But when you are skillful, it will be with you. Understand not? Like any game you play, badminton. Understand not? You train until you're very skillful, your stroke is always with you. Understand not? Even you hang up the racket 10 years, 20 years, the moment you hold the racket, the skill is there. That is trained already. Understand? But if you have not yet trained, you realize or not, even table tennis or anything, you can go and practice and train. But as long as you have not stabilized it, if you stop playing for a while, you go back, you become clumsy again. You forget all the stroke, you got to start training again. But when you train until you become very skillful already, you can stop playing even for years. The skill is always there, except stamina you have to build up. Understand? Mind training is the same. When you train the mind until the mind is like under your charge already, it means you are very skillful already, it means you can use the mind in whatever way you want it to be. Like badminton. You want to serve low, it serve low. You want to return baseline, it go baseline. You have the skill to retrieve. Understand? So this mind also same. After you train already, when defilement come, you want to abandon it, you can abandon it. Understand? That's why you will have awareness to see the mental intention, the wrong thought, the wrong speech, the wrong action. You can abandon it straight away or prevent it from arising. Because you are trained, you are skillful. Understand? But if you are not trained, you cannot. Like badminton, understand? If you don't train, you got no strength. Baseline, you cannot return. Understand? People lob to you, attack your bad hand, you got. But you have not trained. So mind is like that. Defilement is like that. You got a lot of habitual tendency, like your bad hand, very weak one. and defilement will keep on attacking you. Understand? So that's why you have to polish it up. No matter how difficult, you have to train to understand it. Understand? So that when you are skillful, when you are mindful, heedful and aware, you will understand what they are. The hindrance, the spiritual faculty, and how you can use them. That's why ultimately it's understanding and wisdom that liberate your mind and free you and develop the meditation. Not all the doing. All the doing is a skillful mean to train. All the doing is not the real meditation. The doing is just the technique, and the meditation are two separate things. The technique is just a series of instructions to do things. Method and technique are used as skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, because they don't know how to decondition the heedless thinking. They use concentration to anchor the mind. They fix it, one-pointedness, or fix it to the rising and falling, or fix it to anapanasati, focus, tip of the nostril. When you focus, it becomes concentration. Concentration is locking the thought so that it doesn't think. So that the one-pointedness, ekagata, will create energy build-up. That's why they develop all the jhanic energy, everything. Psychic energy, everything. Because they focus and they concentrate and develop. Everywhere you put your thought, the consciousness, energy will build up. That's why when you focus on your tan tian develop. Understand? You focus on your third eye develop. And this is tempering with the external chakra. Understand? The nervous system. It has its power, but all these are psychic field. Understand? And the Buddha never teach all this. The Buddha just teach you to be aware, silent, don't focus, don't concentrate, just relax and silent, just aware. And the samadhi will come. Samadhi is not concentration. Samadhi is the stability of mind, firmness of mind, unwavering mind, collected mind, collected, without thought, not restless, not agitated, peaceful, silent, stable, unwavering. You have to go through the training that you understand all these words. Otherwise, it's just word to you, understand? And I want to talk about this a bit because I heard from Brother Gan, some of you have been meditating for very long. I understand. But no problem. As long as you understand, you will move very fast. Not too late. But very important to have an open mind. Don't be rigid. Don't always stick to your view. Oh, I'm familiar with this method, this technique. I will stick with this. It is your choice. Understand? No right, no wrong. But you find out for yourself. Understand? Your meditation is not about right and wrong. Meditation is about understanding what you do in the name of meditation. When you don't understand what you do, you can be wasting your time. So understanding is very important. Whatever you do, you must do with understanding. Means you know what you are doing in the name of meditation. That's why for me, I got one very good approach to life. Whatever I want to do, you know, although I'm a civil engineer, I must understand what I do. If I don't understand, I don't want to start on. Even play chess, play badminton, swimming or what. I will go and read out and find out. Then I observe how people do. Then I will go in and try. Then I will find out myself. I don't believe what people tell me. The Dhamma also same, meditation also same. All the book write to me not important. I find out myself. Then when I find out and I know it's good, then I say this book is good. Because the author has the understanding. Like this ancient path, 80% is accurate, very good. So far, English translation. Very seldom you have a book so good. That orange copy. The email I wrote one also very good. You go back and read through. Then you reflect and contemplate. The three turnings are all there. All the Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. Most of the talk that I delivered at Klang, they are all inside there, except it's summarized form. But good enough. Good enough. And most of the meditative instruction also is inside there. Except now, I go deeper into it because people can understand better nowadays. Early day when I started that time, people cannot really understand. So I have to be very brief and very, very concise at that time. Then as the condition evolved, people start to have more, better condition to receive the Dhamma. And then I can go into it deeper and deeper and deeper. Then over the last few years, I think it has evolved well. That's why the recording helps a lot. You can listen to them. You can leave behind your email. Or today, I think, Sian sent out a link. You send to them. Ask them to log in my Gyanamitta. Then Sian can also let you all know all the recorded tape. I don't know whether he has updated all or not. There is a website where he has created the Dropbox where you can access them. They recorded almost every session, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, and all those things, and all the SJBA talk. So if you have that time, you slowly listen. The Dhamma inside there is very, very unique, very beautiful. When you cultivate, you listen again, the meaning stand up clearer, deeper. And this is something that you will not find even in most textbooks. Textbooks never arrive. Most of the things that come about is through my own cultivation. I realized them and I discovered them. Then because I have this ability to link and connect, that's why I saw the teaching so clearly. That's why I moved very fast. And I was also quite lucky because my past cultivation helped me. My affinity with the Triple Gem helped me. So the teacher came, the book came, everything came. So during that 6 years, everything just happened. So that's why I was able to have this condition to develop this understanding. Then since there is this condition to share, I will share. But please, no right, no wrong. Don't go and argue over what I say. For me, it's not important. If you find it useful, you use them. If you find it not suitable, just open mind and let it be. Because you go into right and wrong, a lot of things will debate. Then sometimes you're not careful, karmically. This nature don't do anything. But karma is a nature's law. It just takes effect by itself. So your speech, that's why you have to take care, be heedful of what you say. Sometimes don't try to be like wanting to be right. Create unnecessary argument out of things. No point. Who is right? The egoic mind wants to be right. When there is no ego, there is no right and no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. The Dhamma is just the Dhamma. Truth. Truth is not your truth, not my truth. The Buddha also said the Dhamma was already there before him. He only re-proclaimed. He doesn't say it belongs to him. He realized it and re-proclaimed that truth that was already in existence. That's why Dhamma is truth. He teaches truth, nothing else. He never teach Buddhism actually. Human being put in the word ism behind Buddha become Buddhism. So the Dhamma was never Buddhism. The Dhamma was the truth proclaimed by Lord Buddha through his enlightenment. Okay, any more questions or not so far? Can follow, huh? If you got any doubt or question, you can ask, no problem. Like what she asked was very good. Because she asked, that's why I'm able to explain. Otherwise, got no condition. Yes. Try to get the mic. I can't hear you. Okay.
Can you explain a bit more on that? See, we do react, but few.
Okay. I think I know your question.
But the few part,
I know. You see, what I want you to understand now is all these are possible when you have the wisdom. Understand or not? But before the wisdom come, you cannot do one. Understand or not? You cannot do it one. Understand? You are trying to, like, most of them who don't have the understanding, before the understanding come, before the wisdom come, most of them will try to use their knowledge or whatever they believe they know. Then they try to live, like what the Dhamma say. Means, I see things as they are. I accept them for what they are. I don't want to react. Understand that? Means what? You are actually suppressing. It's suppression. But you don't want to react. But wisdom is not like that one. Wisdom is not about reaction. Wisdom is about understanding. The moment I understand, let's say, this is something very hot, burning, tormenting me. The moment I hold, it burn and torment me. So, because I saw it in the meditation. I awakened to this truth. I know. Craving, condition, grasping, condition, suffering, dukkha. I see it. That's why I cannot hold anymore. The moment I understand, I don't hold. When I don't hold, I don't have to let go. I don't have to do anything. So, like just now I explained to you, is because after I have developed that understanding, that I can live that way, understand? But you don't try to, like, find out how I can do it and try to do it. Before the understanding come, it cannot be done, understand? It's just theory. It cannot be done. Because you need to have that type of wisdom to insight into it. But what I can share with you is, when your mind has this understanding and when it's transformed, you can live your life like normal life, understand? The only difference is there is understanding inside, understand? And this understanding is so different. Well, it no longer think like a normal human being that this form of mind is me, understand? You know what is this form of mind or not? Your form of mind? You know what is there or not? The five aggregate. It's not you, understand? But it is karmically conditioned out since birth until now, for you to use. Understand? But when I say for you to use, it's not a person inside there. Understand? It's that nature that is connected to this form of mind, that when you meditate, you connect. When you meditate, develop sati, mindfulness and heedfulness, but this one is beyond thought, beyond mind. You cannot use the thought to connect it, to touch it. You need to completely silent. Then you aware and detect. Then when you detect and connect, then this awareness, silent mind, it can see things as they are and insight into the phenomenal world, the characteristics of it. And that wisdom that comes with that understanding is within your nature. Understand? And this wisdom protect this form of mind from being deluded. And this form of mind no longer gullible, that it understand that this form of mind is for me to use, to live life, understand? That's why I use this body to live. I don't worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. Even though this consciousness is trapped inside, when there is disease, injury or whatever, the nerve will stimulate the consciousness, understand? Normal people will react, understand? Where there is attachment, there is craving, there is clinging, grasping, understand? wow, pain, complain, all that. You got two choices. React to it and become miserable. Second choice, with wisdom and understanding. This is the nature of the form and the mind. Like the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. This is form and mind, element. The form, element, go the way of nature. I cannot resist. So if I accept the reality, I'm at peace, anasana. Even though the consciousness is there, no problem. You can still be at peace, anasana. Like in meditation, no matter how severe that so-called feeling that you come to experience, which you call pain, numbness or itchiness, it is something that is connected to the consciousness. The consciousness will pick it up. But when you understand, you will know it's because you are not relaxed. That's why it arises. There is this chi flow that is blocked. That's why it becomes numb. It becomes so-called like a sensation that you don't like. You call pain. But if you understand and you know how to relax your body and mind and just maintain silence, the light and dislike no more. The ill will no more. You don't label it as pain anymore. Otherwise, it becomes an ill will, a hindrance of mind. That's why you become not peaceful, you're affected. But the moment you accept the reality and be silent and just feel, a totally different phenomenon arises. That's why with wisdom, all this can be done. Sense experience also same. With wisdom, you can see things as they are and accept them for what they are. But you can still arise. Understand? Like good food, you can still eat. But there is no more craving. When there is condition to have, you have. When no more, it's okay. Understand? Even fantastic experience, so what? If the condition is there, I will experience it like good food. Understand? But the mind cannot cling because it knows it's a conditioned state. Understand? It's just an experience. That's why all our meditation is not just about fantastic meditation experience. Understand? All those fantastic experience to me, if it doesn't bring about wisdom and understanding, doesn't help you much. Don't have much meaning. It's just like you go for a good massage. You feel very good, very relaxed, very peaceful, very calm. Or you take certain type of drug that stimulate you to be like very high and all things. It's just like one of these conditioned states. Well, nowadays, medical science is very advanced. They can actually give you a lot of drugs that can stimulate your calmness, your peacefulness. That's why a lot of psychiatrists do that. They give you the medication that actually balance your chemical imbalance. Then your anxiety, your fear reduce. But most of the time, they make you sleepy, tranquilizer, so that you don't think. Then they knock you off. Then sometimes they give you something very soothing so that you can sleep very well. So that you can have very good sleep. Otherwise, you cannot sleep. So medication can alter our mind state and consciousness. It can numb certain part of your brain. Like when you go for operation. The anesthesia, what they do? They put chloroform or they numb you. Understand? Then you knock off. Then the doctor can operate on you. You're completely unconscious. When you wake up after the operation, you totally got no memory at all. That few hours. Blank. Totally blank. Because you are completely knocked off. You enter the unconscious bhavanga. Your senses cannot trigger the what they call the contact with your sense basis when it imprints. They say the sense data, external sense data, imprint upon your bhavanga consciousness. Normally it vibrates and you become conscious. Correct or not? But when they numb you, they knock you off, all the senses cannot vibrate. That's why there is no subconscious or unconscious. Everything cannot be recorded. No record. But before they do that, then there is recording. Understand? That's why in your dream, your subconscious or whatever, even your dream state, you wake up, you can still recall, understand? The subconscious dream, the movement of consciousness. And all this you can see in your meditation. Later on, when you develop your mindfulness, you can just silence your mind. Then you go and sleep. Your body sleep, snore, relax. But you're fully aware inside there. And how your mind go through the dream state, the subconscious, how it create those dream consciousness, you can be aware. And how thoughts are created through response to memory, you can see them coming out. And all this is possible. That's why meditation, when you do it correctly, is so different. Heedfulness, awareness, mindfulness is very powerful. Okay? Yeah. We have to stop with 10:30 plus already. Huh? So I have to maybe end. Huh? We will do the closing puja. Huh? So you can also, next session if you want, write your question down. Huh? Then put it here in the form of written one. Huh? Or you can email to Sui An also can. Huh? Brother Sui An, then he will print it out for you. Then we can use it for our sharing Q&A. Okay. So now we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to all departed relatives or all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, the last one is, you make your aspiration by invoking power of merits. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully the Lord Buddha, then we end. Thank you.